Man, I've been having a real tough time trying to get this intro off for this podcast, but hey, it's my last take. I'm gonna stop and let it go through. So I went to the podcast. I've been interested in doing something like this for a while. So I was like, why not? This is the perfect time. I was like, I'm trying to just end it. Y'all, I talk about with that. I started watching some new anime, finished them recently. And yeah, like, it's the perfect time. A new season's about to start in anime. What more can you ask for? So, first topic on today, we're gonna be talking about this Attack on Titan finale. In the season 3 part 2 as a whole, because it was great. It blew all my expectations out of the water. Attack on Titan has always been consistently great since season 1. Season 1, 2, 3, part 1, and part 2. And I thoroughly enjoyed season 3 part 1. Like, it was on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like an 8.5, 9. But then you come to part 2, and that's when stuff really starts going down. So, the first big reveal that we got in the season was the basement reveal. That's what I missed something. And it was done so great. Like, the episode leading up, them walking down their old street, seeing their past selves and all those visions and stuff. Then going to the basement, and then the next episode is a flashback to Grisha and his stuff. That was done perfect. It was done perfect. It really flipped the whole story on its head. Because until that point, the story was about, hey, we're these dudes trapped inside the wall, find these monsters for freedom. We're the last humans. And then you introduce this plot point like, hey, you guys aren't trapped in there because you're the last humans. And you're like, the monsters are around you. You guys are the monsters. We trapped you there. Or you guys went there in the free will. Because the king and all that stuff. But it flipped the story on its head like, hey, the Titans aren't monsters. Like, we're all Titans. They're not the real enemy. The humans outside the walls, those are the real enemy. And it was great. And the other reveals came with the episode, figuring out that Zeke was Grisha's son, and by proxy, Eren's older brother. That was great. And then seeing it from their perspective, the warriors, because you always had Bertolt, if I'm pronouncing that right, and dang, Mr. Plot Armor, what's his name? The Armor Titan. Wow, his name is really escaping me right now. But Mr. Plotharmer, Berthold, and Annie, they were always talking about how they're warriors. Same thing with, like, Grisha, but Zeke. Like, his name is literally General Zeke. Like, now we figured out where that comes from. They're basically brainwashed to thinking that they're doing what's right. And it was just an amazing reveal for everything. It flipped the story on its head. And then we come to the big decision between Erwin and Armin. And I like how it was done. There's a lot of similarities between their characters. But the main difference being that Erwin has basically lost all hope and Armin still has hope. It made like a really tough decision for Levi. And that whole scene on the rooftop was done perfectly. Like, that whole arc was done great. And then more flashbacks figuring out what the Titans really are, how it was a curse passed down, there's 9 Titans. Like, this season hit the nail on the head and it totally flipped the story. I'm really excited for season 4, hoping that Wit does it. We have no confirmation on that. There's been some rumors over the past couple months that a new studio might take it. I'm not exactly opposed to that, but Wit's done such a great job so far these past, what, 6 years? 6 years. Okay, season 1 came out 2013. Like, it'd be hard to picture a different studio doing it. It'd be real hard. But yeah, this season was definitely great. Part 1 was like, out of a 10 rating, 8.5, 9. Part 2 was a perfect 10 out of 10. Like, knocked the ball out of the park in every way possible. So that was great. That's a long pause. So I recently finished watching Steins Gate, first season, in the episode 25, which is in the OVA, which isn't, I've heard, it's not canon, but it's just like a perfect, puts a bow on the story at the end. It was pretty good. Those are pretty good. The first 12 or so episodes, I think it was episode 13 when stuff really hit the fan. But the first 12 episodes, you can say they were kind of slow, but they did a great job building the world and building the characters that we're going to go through the story with for the rest of the way. And once episode 13 hits, I'm gonna say spoiler alert if you haven't watched Steins Gate, which you should. It came out 2011, 8 years removed. You should definitely watch Steins Gate. It's definitely worth it. Once episode 13 hits, once again spoiler alert, and then we figure out Mayuri and the World Lion and the Fate. Like, wow. I had to pause real quick for a minute. But yeah, episode 13, we learned about Mayuri and the World Lion, so how on this beta line, how there's two significant events that change, that are have to happen in this line, and Mayuri dying is the first one that we learned about, that it always happens, and him, Okabe, having to relive her dying over and over and over again. It was real tough. I know I made a post about two months ago, about, like, I asked y'all what character was the most tortured, or, like, I don't know if I put the exact wording, but, like, let me see. I asked. Who character suffered the most? And I didn't have Okami on the list. I didn't watch Steins Gate at that time. But going back and looking at that list, Okabe definitely deserves to be in that group of people that suffered a lot, because it's not stated how many times he went back, I don't think, but he went back a lot. Like, even in the episode we saw, he went back and tried to stop Mayuri from dying a lot, and every single time he had to see her die, and then come to the conclusion that, hey, if we undo everything that we did to this point in the first 12 episodes, then, hey, maybe she won't have to die. And then it hits you, because, like, if you watch the show when it first aired, coming out every week, then you probably forgot. Or if you're like, I paid a pretty good attention, I think, watching the dub, I paid pretty good attention. But, you know, I didn't pick up on every single detail. By the time we got to episode 20, 22, 23, 21, 22, 23, like the late 20 episodes, I forgot that the first D-mail text that he sent was to stop Kirisu from dying. So when you get to that point, you're like, okay, he has to undo the last one. So we're like 4 for 4 right now. All we gotta do is undo the first one. It's like, oh. Then it hits you like, oh. Wow. So yeah, like, great anime overall. I loved it. The atmosphere was great. The different plot twists and reveals were great. Figuring out that Braun was FB. That was a real kicker, cause I didn't see that coming from a mile away, not a mile away. And then him shooting, her name's escaping me. Girl who's our sex on her phone, her name's really escaping me. I watch so much anime, and, like, these Japanese names, especially, like, the hardcore Japanese names, really escape me sometimes. But yeah, Steins Gate, definite must watch. It is kind of hard to get into, I agree. Because I've seen people online saying that, hey, these first 12 episodes kind of start off slow, but it definitely picks up. I do agree with that, because for me personally, I've tried to watch Steins Gate in the past, and especially the first episode. The first episode was real hard to get past. So I feel like if you get past the first 3 episodes and you enjoy it, then you're having real fun time with it. Because it took me, I probably watched the first episode 5 times over the past 4 years, just saying, hey, you know what, I've heard this anime is great, people say it's an all-time great, it's on their top 10 list, let me give it a try. And I watched the first episode, and I was like, I'm not really feeling it, but last week I pushed through, watched the first 5 episodes, and I don't regret it. It's not nowhere near my top 10, top 50 all time, probably, if I had to like really list it out. Probably. It was definitely that great. So yeah, you definitely give Steins Gate a watch. It's an older one. And next up on my list, I have to watch 23B, and then Steins Gate Zero. I heard that was also great. I heard last year. Heard that was really good. So I need to get into that. I'll probably get into that in the next coming week. I have some stuff that I'm watching right now. Like, on to the next topic, Evangelion. So, for me, people always hype Evangelion up, all this image, not imagery, but the words really escaped me right now, all the represent they ain't the worst game me. The worst are. But they always hype it up like, wow, this is the greatest anime of all time. Like, this transcends the anime. It is a work of art. Like, people hype it up like that, and there's people saying, no, it's not that good. It's not, it's overhyped, yada, yada, yada. So, for me, it's one of those things like, hey, I want to watch it, right? I'm going to get to it eventually. Maybe you have some downtime. I'm done watching my anime. I'll get to it. And, a couple years back, I had to watch the Rebuild movies. And those were great to me. I really did enjoy those. 1.0 to 3.0 when those came out. So looking forward to 4.0 when it comes out next year, hopefully. It's been like four years. Like, that's been a crazy long time since the last Rebuild movie. But yeah, I watched those movies. I enjoyed them for what they were. Wasn't nothing crazy over the top, but I liked the visuals were great. So after I finished watching Steins Gate, I'm like, hey, I need something new to watch. And I heard Netflix had just released Evangelion on their streaming platform. So I'm like, cool, you know what, I'm gonna watch it on Netflix. Then I hear about the dub. And for me, my stance on dub versus sub is, hey, if I can watch it in dub, I'll probably watch it in dub. Right? So I'm like, okay, I'll just watch Netflix dub. I go to the Game Threads or Anime, looking at the comments and replies, and people are just trashing the dub left and right. Like, it's horrible. It doesn't live up to the hype. Doesn't live up to the previous dub the ADV did. And it's just watered down, toned down. And I'm like, okay, it can't be this bad, can it? Like, can it be this bad? And I'm not one of those people who just takes comments at face value. Like, especially on anime, because anime is so subjective, and like anime, media, music, all that stuff, it's so subjective. People can hate it, and I might love it, and I'm fine with that. So, I was like, you know what, I'm going to be an informed citizen, and I'm going to check out the ADV dub from the 90s, and the dub that Netflix just released. And I took the first episode, I skimmed through it, looked at both parts, and man, it's just as if, from me, skimming through the first episode, watching videos on YouTube, comparison, it's just like, the Netflix dub doesn't have heart. It's like the Netflix dub took the Japanese script and put it through Google Translate. And then gave that script to the voice actors, like, hey, do this. Whereas the ADV dub, it's like, they took it through Google Translate, looked at the script in English that they had now, and like, okay, let's make this American. Let's make this sound natural. Let's put some heart into this. And then gave it to the voice actors. And I think that's the main difference. That's the second main difference. The thing that really pushed me over the edge to watch the original dub was the ending, because I'm a firm believer that music really heightens any form of media, television show, anime, TV show, anything. Great music can heighten that. It can bring a score up by a couple points, in my opinion, because it creates atmosphere. And Fly Me to the Moon is such a great song, and the different renditions of it at the end of each episode are so amazing and add so much to the atmosphere of the show. That's the show that brought Camels back for me. I was like, okay, Netflix doesn't have Fly Me to the Moon, I can't watch it. I have to watch the original. Because Eva is such, it's kind of a haunting show. Like, all the themes throughout it. And at the end of each episode, you have a different person singing Fly Me to the Moon. And it's just so great. I have no clue about the business behind it, the licensing behind it, whether or not they could get the new voice, somebody to do a cover of, like, the original had it. Oh, excuse me. But Netflix not having that. That was a straw that brought the candles back. Because first of all, the opening is amazing too. I'm glad they at least kept that. They would change the opening. That would have broke loose among Eva fans. more than I already has been. But the piano at the end is cool. It's okay. But nothing can top Fly Me to the Moon as the ending to that. And that was the main reason why I went for the ADV dub over the Netflix dub. And the third reason being, I didn't really like Shinji's voice. He sounded really, I know his character is supposed to be like, but he sounded really feminine in the Netflix dub, which I like. I mean, females do younger boys' voices all the time in all types of anime shows, like look at Hughie and Riley in the Boondocks, Goku, all that stuff. Like females do young boy voices a lot, because young boys sound like females sometimes, a lot of times. So nothing wrong with that, but I just felt like his original voice actor brought a lot more to the table. I felt like that was a lot of the original voice actor in the cast and the script. It's just, it brought a lot more to the table, a lot more heart to it. So yeah, if you're planning on watching Eve, if you haven't already, I strongly recommend. For me, I went with the AVD dub. Am I saying that right? AVD? I think that's people who dubbed it back in the 90s. I went with them. But I wouldn't outright say, hey, you have to watch the AVD dub. AVD. I hope that's right. AVD. I'm not gonna say, hey, you have to outright watch that. But I will say, watch the first episode. Watch the first episode twice, each dub. Figure it out for yourself. Because, hey, maybe you don't like Flying to the Moon. Maybe you're just a weirdo. Like, hey, maybe you like the piano. Maybe you like Shinji's new voice in the more literal adaptation of the Japanese script. Maybe you like that. So, I say, definitely, you should definitely watch Eva. I'm on episode 3. Definitely watch it. I already recommend it. I'm only 3 episodes in. Definitely watch it. But if you're going to go dub, I say, if you can find the original dub somewhere, through some illicit sources, because I know it might cost an arm and a leg, so we get it legally. But if you can find it, wink wink. Watch both. Watch both. Go through both. Make your own decision on it. Up next, Doro ending. Besides Attack on Titan. Well, wait. Yeah, besides Attack on Titan, Doro is probably my favorite anime come out this year. It was consistently great throughout, having different episodic episodes, like the overarching theme of Hakimaru getting his body back. And towards the end, it kind of shifts, like, hey, the more you're getting your body back, the more human you're becoming. You're becoming more of a demon as you go along. And I like that theme throughout. And then you have the ending, the very ending scene. Well, not the very, let me rewind a little bit. With Hakimaru and Lord Iago in the temple. That was really great. Because Iago was firm in his belief that, hey, what he did was right. His son is now a demon. He's ruining the land. And if Hakimaru kills me right now, that just proves my point. And then Hakimaru saying, hey, I'm not with it. I'm going to ride with the Buddha. We can do this peacefully. And then Diago crying over the statue. Like, it was perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect. Because he finally, him crying, those bloody tears, it was him finally saying, hey, I was wrong. After he just lost everything, he lost his kingdom, son, his wife. He lost everything. And then he finally figured out he was wrong. So it was great. The fight scene was amazing. Hakimaru versus, I almost said Kimimaro, that's not Naruto. What was his brother's name? Hakimaru versus his brother. It was great. And the fiery temple. It was simply amazing. The choreography was really good. And for me, in anime, choreography means everything. Like, my favorite anime fights have great fighting choreography. Like, Madara versus, well, it's hard, right? Getting a little sidetracked right here. The greatest anime fights have hype and great choreography. And Naruto is the perfect example. Naruto has all of them, the majority of them, in my opinion. Like, Naruto has the best fights in anime history, if you were to ask me. You have the best one for me, which is Obito versus Kakashi. It had everything, had hype behind it, and the choreography were simply amazing. With it going between flashbacks and the current day, it was great. And then you have number two on my list, which would be, it's pretty obvious, Sasuke versus Naruto, same thing. Then Madara versus the army, great. Then the last one's escaping me. The last one's really escaping me. Rock Lee versus Neji is definitely, I said not Rock Lee versus Neji, Rock Lee versus Gaara is definitely one of them. Naruto versus Pain, you know, I know a lot of people don't like that, like how they did the fight, the art style in the fight. I personally loved it, but Naruto has some of the best fights because of the choreography, and I think Dororo final two episodes showcased that perfectly with Hakimaru versus, I should really forgot his name, but I feel like we learned that, Hakimaru versus his brother in the temple with the fire coming down around him. It was perfect. It had a lot of stakes behind it. It had a lot of pain behind it, and the choreography and the visuals were great. So, and the ending was fine. It was like, it's hard because you kind of do want to see, you hate to see it after these 25 episodes, Dororo and Hakimaru traveling together, that they kind of just went their separate ways for a while. You kind of hate to see it, but at least they reunited in the end. It seems like they did good for each, they did good by themselves, and they reunited. Because like the priest said, once Hakimaru got all his body parts back, it was like he was just born. So to experience, he had to experience the world for himself. But yeah, Dororo, definitely a must-watch anime from this year. It was great. It was great all the way throughout. Well, there were some animation, some tweaky animation choices by budget issues, not issues, but budgetary reasons in some of the later episodes. But other than that, I don't think it deters from the overall product that we got, and it was great. Man, I'm running on 22 minutes right now. I do want to make these podcasts longer, but this is just like a test run. See if I actually want to do it. So to end this off, I want to recommend you guys some anime that you might not have watched. I'm gonna do a quick rundown. If I can get my anime list real quick. How neat is it to have my anime list? I wish I had that for everything, like for games, for movies, all that stuff, just so I can keep track of all the media that I consume in a year. That would be great. That'd be great. Well, it showed up first, but I feel like people are watching. But if you're not watching Demon Slayer, like come on, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. It's by Unfoldable. Like come on, like if an Unfoldable anime comes out, you gotta watch it, because you know that. If anything else, if you don't like the story or the characters, you know the animation is gonna bring a tear to your eyes. That's how beautiful it is. See, I definitely recommend Kimetsu no Yaiba or Demon Slayer. Definitely watch that out. Watch that. It's on episode 10 out of 26. Comes out every Saturday. Definitely pick that up. Another one. I know I recommend this on my Instagram page, but 91 Days, great drama. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Perfect, nice. It's 12 great episodes, and with a great ending on top of that. Perfect revenge tale. So if you have some time, a couple hours on your hand, 12 episodes, perfect. And the last one I recommend, well, I feel like you guys, if you watched anime, if you kept them in the space last year, then you've either seen or heard about Banana Fish. But if you haven't watched Banana Fish, watch Banana Fish. I won't say no more. It's that great. Thank you guys for listening, tuning in. I'll catch you next week if I decide to do this more. Appreciate it.